ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
I take those values that I was brought up with, and I'm still doing. I hold doors open for people. And it's kind of funny sometimes because, you know, you hold the door open, and they kind of look at you like, what are you doing? Didn't you want to get in there first? You know, it's usually at the post office. I go there every day, and you know, people are coming in, and I'm like, no, go ahead. I don't mind being behind you. That's fine. Don't worry. Respecting people. You know, I believe it was the Kimberly High School, the wrestling match with the little kids. I mean, they're just little kids, and the parents are wrestling on the sidelines. There was a good takedown, I thought. What's happened? We've lost control. Why? Because everything is out of order. You got to get back to what God desires, guys. It's so important, not only for the family, for government, for everything, for the church. It's the whole sanctification process for us. You know, there's a custom in Italy. I'm not sure if they still practice this today, but they used to. That as midnight rolls around on New Year's Eve, the streets are empty. There's not a soul to be found. No traffic, no pedestrians. Even the policemen take cover. Then as the clock strikes 12 and the new year is ushered in, the windows of the houses fly open and the sound of laughter, music, fireworks is heard. As each member of the family pitches out old crockery and detested ornaments, hated furniture, and a whole catalog of personal possessions, which remind them of something in the past year that they are determined to wipe out of their minds. Please do not throw your husbands out the window on New Year's Eve. I don't want any phone calls. It's kind of strange, right? But think about it. Isn't that what we do as Christians? Not just on New Year's Eve, but as we're reading the Word of God, and God says, you need to get that out of your life. You need to get rid of it. Toss it. That shouldn't be part of your life. And the Lord is helping us to grow. And this whole idea about sanctification, I know I spoke of it a lot, but the Hebrew word, and really the Greek, speak of being separate, to set apart. We are to set our lives apart, separated from sin for use by God, separated from the world. Not that we can't go into the world. Of course we do. We live here. But the world's not in us. I use the illustration a lot about a boat. A boat out of the water is pretty much useless, right? I mean, what does it do? Looks nice, but that's it. A boat in the water is when it runs. It works. It's wonderful. But what happens when water gets into the boat? It sinks. That's with us as Christians. We got to be in the world to function. And so as we get into the world, we share the love of Christ. We are shining for Him. But when the world gets in us, we sink. It's as simple as that. We have to be careful. Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4 said, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." What's God's will for our life or sanctification? Being clean in our walk with Him on a practical level. There are many Christians out there who feel that, hey, that's all what God has to do. I'm not involved in it. Otherwise, it's a work of the flesh. If I try to help Him out at all, then it's not going to work. It all comes from Christ who lives in me. We have nothing to do with it. I'm going to sit back and wait for God to take care of it. Good luck. You'll have that problem the rest of your life. We are to live by faith, allowing God's Spirit to work in us and make us holy, but that's only part of the picture. In Hebrews 6, verses 11 and 12, we're told, "And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." What are we doing? We're following the other believers that are following Christ. Diligent in our walk with the Lord, doing what's right before Him. One pastor recounts the story of a woman who came up after he spent an hour teaching on striving after holiness, having a walk with the Lord that's worthy of the calling by which he called you. And she said, "I think you have it all wrong when it comes to sanctification and the believer's daily walk with Christ. Scripture says, 'Not I, but Christ liveth in me.' There is no call for us to discipline ourselves or exert human effort. We are commanded to live by faith. That means we don't do anything. We simply yield to God and let him do it all." That sounds great, right? Using scripture to support it. But what did the Lord tell Joshua? "All this land is yours. Every place you put the sole of your foot." In other words, this is all your land. I've given it to you, but you have to walk. God says, "I want you to walk holy, but you're going to have to walk. You're going to have to do some things." Yeah, it's God and it's us working together, I truly believe. We're not passive in this process of spiritual growth or maturity and let God do everything. You know, I remember as a kid, you know, I was 17 years old, again, Italian parents, and my mom did everything for me. I mean, you know, my wife, after we got married, you know, we'd have big meals and stuff, and my mom would bring me food. I couldn't get up. I kept telling her, "Mom, I've got two legs, I could walk." But she kept, all her boys would be served, and her husband. The wives, nah, they had to get up for themselves. But at 17, I had realized that if I stayed home, I'd still probably be there today. Because my mom did everything for me. And I didn't even know how to do my laundry. And I moved from Illinois all the way out to Arizona. And it was hard. Because now you don't know how many clothes I ruined. Now, there are some clothes you don't mix together because it's bad. But I learned. I learned how to cook. I learned how to take care of myself. I grew. My parents helped me, but I also had to take steps to help myself grow. And that's us as Christians. Yes, God enables us to do the things, but he's not going to force us. We have to walk by faith. Now, the other end of the spectrum is we have to do it all, and we don't even ask God to help us. And that just kind of develops into legalism. Thou shalt not do this, thou shalt do that. Not a good thing. There, like I said, is a union of God's sovereign control in a believer's effort. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29, Paul said this, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." Paul is speaking of labor and striving in the work to present every man perfect. The Greek word for labor speaks of working to the point of exhaustion, wearisome effort. The Greek word for striving means to strain, toil, suffer. We get our English word agonize from this word. And what we see here is that Paul is doing all he can to see that men live holy lives to present them perfect. But it's not only his labor or his striving, but he says that it is also his working which works in me mightily. Do you see how it goes together? We as Christians are to live our lives to please the Lord, striving after holiness and allowing the power of God's Spirit to help us fulfill that goal. Philippians 2:12, controversial for some, I don't see it that way. Paul says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." Work out your own salvation, which, again, some are confused by that. I thought we're saved by grace and not by works. Now I got to work it out? The word work can be translated, keep on continually making the effort to work out your salvation. And that's part of our sanctification process. We're not working. It doesn't say work your way into heaven, your own way into heaven. Work out your faith. Aren't we to grow? Aren't we to mature? Otherwise, we remain spiritual babes. There is no growth in our lives. We're to take what God has done in us and live it. Let the work that Jesus is doing in our lives be seen by others. Work out our salvation. Let it be seen. Live it. And again, this isn't a call to unbelievers, but for believers to strive for holy living based on the resources we have. 2 Corinthians 7:1, Paul said, "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Ephesians 4:1, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called." Yeah, it's not easy. You have to work at it. The flesh, the world, and the devil are going to try to draw you away from God and His will for your life. But don't lose hope. The best way I know of trying to stay on track, trying to move towards the goal that God has planned for your life, is to stay in His Word and in fellowship with Him. That's the key. Be in His Word. David, in Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16, said, "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word." You know, if you want to walk down a path of holiness to allow that sanctification process to continue in our lives, you saturate yourself with the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will open up the Word of God to your heart and to your life when you're in situations that, you know, you should not be in. That's what God does. Then why are there so many problems in the church? Why are so many Christians, you know, supporting all kinds of immoral activities? Because they're not listening to God. That's pretty simplistic, isn't it? But it's true. When you listen to what God says, it's very simple. But we can harden our heart to what God wants us to do, what God wants us to support. You see, we have the ability to continue down the wrong path, but we also have the ability to continue down the right path. It's our choice. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:11, "Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Yes. Peter's not saying just sit back and let God do His thing. He's calling for us to flee, run, turn away from fleshly lusts that are destroying, or trying to destroy our walk, our witness with others. Remember Joseph when he was sold by his brothers into slavery, and he was the slave of Potiphar? And Potiphar, this was a young man, a teenager, and Potiphar's wife, after a time, starts hitting on him. What did Joseph do? "Well, God, this is yours. I'm just going to sit back and let you take care of it." She pulls, you know, his loincloth off. "Come on, God, it's getting cold out here. What are you going to do?" Are you kidding? What did Joseph do? He took off. Don't put yourself in situations that are going to compromise your faith. Again, 1 Peter 1, verses 13 through 16. Peter said, "Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourself to the former lust, as in your ignorance, but as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, 'Be holy, for I am holy.'" We can remember the former things we did. We did them out of ignorance many times. But now we're a child of God. The light of God has shown us what is right and what is wrong. We know better. And we need to gird ourselves. The idea of girding is a soldier pulling up his long robe and tucking it into his belt so he can move more easily, so he wouldn't trip all over the place. And Peter is calling for us to gird our minds. Don't allow the enemy to trip us up. Know what's right and wrong. And if you don't know, ask God. He'll show you. You apply the truth of God to your life. You strive for holiness because God is holy and He desires us to be like Him. God also plays a vital role in living this out in our life. In Philippians 2:13, it says, "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." We should be like praising God for this. God is working in each of our lives, empowering us to do His will for His pleasure. You know, when we give in to sin, it's not because God's not strong enough to stop us. It's because we gave in. God has warned us. He's told us and He's empowered us not to go down that path. But we have a choice now. Are we going to listen to the flesh, the devil, the world, or are we going to listen to God? And it's a choice on our part. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, Paul said, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God." Absolutely. I cannot do it on my own. I need God's help in my life. And I love Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." Wow. I don't know where any of you are at today. I don't know what struggles you have. Maybe you're frustrated because you keep falling into this sin over and over and over again. You're just frustrated. And you think, man, God's just going to give up on me. I want you to memorize Philippians 1:6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ." In other words, God saved you, right? And he's going to complete that work, and it'll be finished when you go home to meet him. God doesn't give up on you. You may give up on yourself, but God doesn't give up on you. And I am so thankful for that. And I'm sure you are too. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's what God's doing. It's a work he's begun in us, and he will completely sanctify our lives, set us apart. We will go to be with him. But are you dissatisfied with the sin in your life now? Are you willing to give it to him? Surrender to him. Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" That was a struggle for Paul. He was not comfortable with sin. And he sought the Lord, and he realized it's Jesus Christ who will deliver him. We should desire to live as God wants us to live, to walk in a manner that is worthy of the high calling that we have received from him. Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Wow. What God has given to us. What he wants to do in our lives. And it's not easy. Again, if it was, we wouldn't need the Lord. But I'll tell you what, God has seen me through all kinds of things. He's seen you through all kinds of things. Does it always end the way you want it to? No. Does it always end the way God wants it? Pretty much knows how it's going to end. He knows the beginning from the end. He knows what I need in my life to bring me to the point where I'm going to trust in him more and more. I mean, I think of Joshua. Moses had these people for 40 years. They were right on the border of the promised land. And because of unbelief, they wandered for 40 years in the wilderness. "Okay, Joshua, you're up." "Oh man, I don't have 40 years, man. I can't. These people for 40 years. Lord, are we going in?" And the Lord says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be dismayed, man. I've given you this land. It's yours. Trust in me." You see, that's what God does with us. As we're going through those difficult times, he's saying, "Trust in me. Rest in me." I mean, we want that victorious Christian life. We want to grow in the Lord. Thus, we need to be in his word, surrender to his Spirit's leading, do those things that God is calling us to do. You know, remember that story I shared about the strange New Year's custom in Italy as they threw out the window all their garbage they wanted removed from their homes and lives. And that's how we should deal with sin on a daily basis. Allow God to remove the garbage, confess it before him, and strive after holiness. You know, Paul in 1 Corinthians 9 said, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus not with uncertainty. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified." We're in a race. And I shared with you before, when I do these running races, I don't get in the race to lose. I don't. I get in the race to win. And so I train. I prepare. And Paul's saying, as Christians, we're in this race. You need to prepare. You need to be in the Word of God. You need to be in prayer. You need to be in fellowship with other believers. Because it's a battle out there. The race is tough. And it's not a sprint. It's a long distance race. And long distance, man, you get weary. Sprints are just that. You just give it all and pretty much done. It's like fireworks, right? If you light the fireworks, they go off in the sky. Oh, ooh, ooh. 2 minutes later, they're gone. Paul says, no, we're not like that. This is a long distance race. And we have to endure to the end, keeping our eyes focused upon the author and the finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ. Keep your eye on him. He's the finish line. What happens is, oh, what's going on over here? Oh, no, something's going on over here. And we take our eyes off the finish line. And when you do that, when you take your eyes off the goal, you start slowing down. You start tripping up. You're distracted. Keep your eyes on Jesus, guys. And Paul did it. You know, he said, at the end of his life, I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to those who loved his appearing. Yeah. And that's why Paul admonishes us in 1 Timothy 6, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness and godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Yeah. Fight that good fight of faith. Job said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Okay, fear the Lord. Know what he wants for your life. And then flee from evil, because God doesn't want you to go down that path. We need the Lord, and then we need to walk also by faith. And I'll just give you a couple things before I close, to help you. First of all, you need to believe the Word of God. You need to believe it's the Word of God, guys. If you start picking and choosing what you like and don't like in the Bible, you're in serious trouble. It's from Genesis to Revelation, like it or not. You're not the author, so you don't have the right to edit it. You only have the right to read it and to believe it and to apply it to your life. Be less dependent on self and more dependent on Christ, absolutely. If you really think you can do it in the flesh, good luck. You ask God's help. Lord, I'm struggling in this area. Help me. And then you walk by faith, being obedient to him. Taking those steps of faith. That's another one. Don't let situations impact your relationship with God. And that does happen at times. I've seen people on Facebook, and I don't know these people. I'm not even sure how I'm friends with them. Probably because I friend everyone. But I'm sick and tired of people. They just bother me. There's no God. I'm thinking, what happened? What did they do to you to destroy your faith in God? It breaks my heart when I see that. People are going to disappoint you, okay? I don't know if that shocks any of you, but people are going to disappoint you. God never disappoints. I will always be with you, even to the end of the age. I will not forsake you. Hey, he loves you so much, he died for you. Don't let people rob you of your joy in the Lord. Allow God to work in you so that he can work through you. Absolutely. You are not going to be able to give to people what you yourself don't have. And what God is showing you, you can share with others. And spend time with God. Listen to his voice, because he is speaking to you. I've heard people say, I don't hear God speak anymore. I'm like, read your Bible out loud. You'll hear him speak. Just a few things to help us to grow in the Lord. And, you know, what a beautiful picture God has given to us here. That he wants us to have lives that would honor him. To be holy because he is holy. It doesn't say be as holy as God, because we can never be that holy. But we are to live lives to honor him. And yes, this is a constant battle we face. But boy, God is working in us. And as Peter said, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Here's the countermeasure. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, We thank you so much that you desire us to live holy lives, lives that would honor you. And Lord, we can't do it on our own, nor do you call us to do it on our own. But you call us to live lives that are surrendered to you, empowered by you. And you give us the words to say, Lord, to accomplish these things that you want from our lives. And we're so thankful for that. Lord, if any are struggling here this morning, just encourage them and help them. And Lord, just help us to walk worthy of that high calling by which we have been called. We thank you, Lord, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.